explaining in one word what made Becca special is almost an impossible task. She really believed in the fact that there's good in all of us and that we can make a difference, that one person can make the world a better place.
We had a conversation and she talked about she was afraid that she hadn't lived long enough, she hadn't had a purpose, that she would be forgotten. She had no legacy. Her hashtag became her purpose, and now her legacy will live on.
Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice of all things Moncton Wildcats. I am your host, Adam, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. How are you today?
I'm doing very good. Yeah. Weather was very nice today for for my work, especially I work outside. I was very happy, but the spring jacket didn't last very long.
No.
As soon as I got in the shade, it was back on the winter. back on the 3-1.
Well, you got to take advantage.
Dad joke.
Oh God.
Oh.
You're putting me on the spot here. Introduce our friend right here, but I'll work on one.
This is going to be a fun show. That other voice you had, we have a very special guest today. We're joined in studio by Darren Schofield, one of the founders of In Becca's Name Foundation. Darren, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
What do you got?
my favorite time of the day is?
What's that?
6:30. Best time on the clock, hands down.
Oh yeah.
did that meet expectations? Is that what you were looking for?
It did. Yeah, Becca would love that.
So let's have a little chat about her. Obviously your foundation is doing wonderful things, and there's the Becca Told Me To movement, and I moved here just at the tail end of everything, but just talk about what Becca was and how this came about, and for anyone who doesn't know or a first time listener.
Okay. Where do I start?
It's always tough, right?
Yeah. Becca got a brain tumor, and through the course of the treatment, we're going to the IWK, and our friends and family were huge support to us, and eventually our community jumped in, and so we had support from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And one of the times we were at the Ronald McDonald House, in Halifax, we're talking to some of the other people there, and there's a woman there, and she was stressed. She had a bad day at the hospital, and she was extra stressed because she just got fired from her job because she was missing too much time from work.
Oh, that's tough.
Because her child was sick.
Yeah.
So her experience was not ours at all. Mm-hmm. So we never forget that, like, through everything that Becca went through, and Becca was she was a bright light, like she always was.
Yeah.
Before she was sick, while she was sick, like right to the end, like she had a smile on. Mm-hmm. She was trying to make other people happy. So, when after she passed, we wanted to do something to kind of honor her. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about starting a foundation, and we got that underway. And the friends of the Moncton Hospital gave us a call and asked if we'd be interested in meeting. And they wanted to do something. They had something called the Angel Fund, which was for women that were going through breast cancer.
Right.
And treatments. And it was a support to them because, you know, some of the women were missing treatments because they couldn't afford a babysitter. So it was a fund to help them do things and be able to afford things that they couldn't, that wasn't covered.
Right.
And it was exactly what we wanted to do for Rebecca. So they want to do the same kind of thing, but for all cancer patients. So that's what the Rebecca Schofield Fund at the Moncton Hospital does, is it provides support to cancer patients at the Moncton Hospital. Help them afford things like parking, groceries. Just there's always something when you're going through that. Like there's all these extra things. So this this fund, once it builds up to $250,000, that's a huge number. Mm. It's going to be put into an annuity, and the interest from that. So it's going to go on in perpetuity. It's, you know, this fund is going to be around for forever. It's going to be there to support cancer patients at the Moncton Hospital.
That's like, it's such a legacy to leave, like it, and it's the, trying to figure out the words to.
Inspirational?
Yeah, inspirational, very much. Like, it's things you don't think of that somebody can't get to an appointment because they can't find a babysitter. Or the,
yeah.
Like, that's one of the hills I'll die on. The first politician to say hospital parking is free, yeah. I would imagine, or ambulance rides are free. Like, oh, you want to go see your loved one?
Mm-hmm.
Here's $30 to park for 3 hours or whatever it is. It's just, yeah. It's silly the amount of how they get you.
You know, you pay for parking for a week, for a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it costs so much, but like, I got a friend that, you know, her, you know, his girlfriend works at the hospital, and, you know, just for staff, like, staff are on a 10-year waiting list to get a parking spot at the hospital.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So it's crazy. Like, it's that, you know, he has to drop her off every day because she's not driving to work, and it's, you know, I don't know if it's paid for. Like, it's crazy that the staff don't even get their, you know, to get, you know, park for free. So it's a really, really good, you know, foundation, and, you know, very, you know, it's, you really kind of covered it all, really, especially when it's, you know, small things like groceries and parking, that goes a long way.
Yeah. The fund, it's kind of cool. When you donate, you can actually choose the experience that you want to do. Like, if no amount is too big, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. no amount is too small.
Yeah.
And you can go on, you can actually say what you want your money to go towards. You know, whether you want to put it towards somebody's groceries or a wig, or like there's different different options when you make the donation. And this is all happening because Giving Tuesday is next Tuesday, mm-hmm. December 3rd. And that's the biggest fundraiser globally for charities. And we're pushing for the Rebecca Schofield Fund here in Moncton for people to jump in for Giving Tuesday.
Yeah, because there's Black Friday, Cyber Monday,
mm-hmm.
and then
Giving Tuesday. And
then Giving, which, yeah. I don't, that's a fairly new thing, isn't it, Giving Tuesday?
Yeah.
It's not, from what I remember, there was never a Giving Tuesday. But if you're going to spend all the money on electronics, like we were talking about before we got on here, the price of TVs are silly, and people are waking up. It's
a season of giving, too. So, yeah. It's, yeah. You know, it's, see, even with that, it's the littlest thing can go the longest way, too. It doesn't matter if, you know, you could go and pay for somebody's coffee at a drive-through, or, you know, it's the smallest things can make a world of you know, a world of difference.
That was the building of the park and everything with, wow, with that.
The park, it's incredible.
Yeah,
if you have,
I'm too old to play in it, I think.
You need to it's amazing. Like, yeah. you got to go just to see it. The job that they did, the organizers and the volunteers, the work that they put in, and what they accomplished, it's incredible. Like, if I'm having a down day, I go down there and I look at it. Like, it's and the kids are having a blast on it.
So for those who aren't aware, where is that? It's in Riverview.
It's in Riverview. It's at the Frank L. Bowser Elementary School.
Okay.
And it's on Cleveland. I don't know the exact address, but it's on Cleveland Avenue. The organizers and Sean Rollo was leading the whole project, mm-hmm. and the amount of hours him and his wife Angela put in to get everything done. And the committee was, you know, for years they were raising money for to rebuild the park.
Yeah.
And hats off to all of them. It's just amazing what they did. And so many things to do for the kids and
adults too.
And the adults,
you know,
too.
I was working in Riverview a month or so ago, and you know, I just needed to relax a little bit, so I took a took a little trip around and played around for a few minutes just to, you know, cool down and relax the head. So,
ah, geez, if that had been around when I was younger, I might be a parkour expert. I don't know.
Yeah, that stuff's crazy. I don't know if I want to get into that. So the Giving Tuesday, is it something that's at the hospital or is it just online? Like, are you guys at an event at the hospital, like a telethon type thing, or is it just kind of an event?
I have a cheat sheet here. I'm going to.
No worries. So do we.
This is completely an unscripted show, but sometimes, you know, you need to do your research. Especially.
And don't worry.
You can mail your donation to In Becca's Name, care of Friends of the Moncton Hospital Foundation at 135 Macbeth Avenue in Moncton. E1C6Z8. Make your check payable to the Friends of the Moncton Hospital Foundation, noting #smile in Becca's name in the memo. You can visit the Friends kiosk located in the main lobby of the Moncton Hospital to make your donation. Or you can text Tuesday to 20222 and data rates may apply. Or you can go to www.inbeccasname.ca. And that's a lot of fun because then you can pick where your donation goes to.
Had to get that legality in there with the standard data messages apply. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I keep putting on our social media when I share stuff. Data rates apply because you don't want to get someone in trouble. But
yeah, we don't need no subpoenas showing up on Adam's doorstep or anything.
No, exactly. So I guess while we got you here, might as well talk some hockey if you're into that.
Yeah. Go catch.
Before we do that, to tie a ribbon on that, Jeremy and I and the Wildcast podcast are going to give $40 to your fund here before you leave today. So
thank you.
Yeah, I went to the bank. Like, I actually went to a bank and took money out. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, not just an e-transfer, whatever. So
yeah, I have cash in my pocket.
Well, thank you.
I was on beccasname.ca and I was looking. And I was like, I don't know where to put it. It's too tough to decide. So we're just going to give you $40. And I don't know if you want to go get tickets to a Wildcats game to give to some family and whatever, to give them a night off, not thinking about what they're going through. That's what we'd like to donate the money to.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Let's get to the quick question. So, gentlemen, 9 in a row at home, 5 home games left. Does this team lose at home in 2019?
Ooh.
Smart ass answer here. They already did. January 3rd, 2019, a 6-5 defeat at the hands of the St. John Sea Dogs.
I hate you.
No, I understand where you're where you're going with this question. I think the only game that that might worry me is the one that's always the hardest one to get up for.
Yeah,
is the last one before the Christmas break.
Yeah,
and I think
Charlottetown.
That's against. I think it's against Bathurst, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so a four o'clock game. On a Saturday against Bathurst, when all the players are going home for Christmas the next day.
And that's the teddy bear toss.
Teddy bear toss.
Yeah, the teddy bear and the skate with the cats game. Yeah. And
so that's always the hardest game to really, for any player to get up for.
Yeah.
I know that game on the night before against Cape Breton will probably be a tough one as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm looking at the right schedule.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. But if there's a game that I'm worried about is oddly enough, it will be against Bathurst, who is a team that's, you know, played us extremely well all year. A lot of players will say that in the league. They'll say, you know, that last game before Christmas break, you know, going home to see your families and, you know, having 2 weeks off is one of the hardest games to get excited about. Because they're looking at the calendar and, you know, the players from here, from around, you know, the Maritimes are probably have their cars packed already and, you know, they're leaving right after the game. The ones from Quebec are, you know, flying out the morning after. So, it's always one difficult that, you know, to really, you know, for morale purposes to build up for. So that's, if there's one home game that I'm concerned about, it's probably that one right there.
Well, I'm going to disagree on that.
No. We have.
That's why you bring in guests.
No, I just Valdor plays a rugged style. They finish their checks, and I saw it last year. To play them, you pay the price to play them.
Yeah.
The record wasn't that great, but there was a, I think it was Shawinigan, had their record was about the same last year. And to watch the two teams Shawinigan played soft, Valdor played hard,
yeah,
and Cats won both games, but it cost more against Valdor. So I'm going to say if they lose, it's going to be Friday night to Blainville because of the punishment from Valdor on Thursday night. Mm.
But good take.
Yeah,
that's a good take.
That is.
But I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win out.
So you could see if there is one, that's the one.
If there is one, it's going to be against Blainville, but I think they're going to win the others.
Well, we're all going to disagree here. I think it's going to be the Cape Breton one, the one before Bathurst. I think Cape Breton is trying, you know, they're playing us tough just as much as Bathurst is, and it's right in that weekend of guys getting ready to go home, but I just think Cape Breton's a better, obviously they're a better team than Bathurst, even though Jeremy had them on the rankings last week, but I just, you know, Cape Breton, other than that 10-3 game, has been right there a shot or two away from getting the Cats, so.
They got a good team, too.
Yeah. So. Again, hopefully they don't, but.
Yeah.
So I went back and listened to our Quebec sweep episode. And at this time last year, we were 19-6-2 for 40 points, basically what we are now. Everybody remembers what happened, you know, after Christmas. So just in the first
half.
All
our fault.
Yeah, all our fault, exactly. What do you think the main difference is this year compared to last year?
Coaching.
Yeah.
Like it's.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think it's, you can tell. Mm-hmm. Right, the work ethic is there, and it's you know, you read in you know, Neil Hodges' article today, like, you know, Zach LaRue, he's smiling every day because he's excited to come to the rink.
Yeah,
right. I think, you know, obviously the team started to struggle around this time last year, but you kind of had a sense that it wasn't getting very. They weren't, you know. They were excited to play hockey, but, you know, I think they were excited to come to the rink, but they just kind of fell off as soon as they hit the ice.
Yeah.
This is a different, you know, a different coaching staff, completely different coaching staff. And I think it's just a different, there's a different feel around the organization and in the dressing room. And you know what, second in the country.
I hate those rankings.
Yeah, it's just stupid. I'll just stop there because I'll probably start going off on a rant here. But Adam, yeah, while you check your watch to make sure we get some time. Yeah, the second in the country, you know, probably going to stay there this week.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Unless, I don't know. It's got to be second in the country, you know. Two wins and, you know, that's not going to bump us down, if anything.
No.
But I think it's, you know, the team is getting recognized. You know, you have, you know, a lot of, not only in the CHL, but you have, you know, some media out there that are, you know, starting to, you know, take notice of this team. And, you know, Willie Pavlov from Halifax Reporter is saying that Monken's going to be a serious buyer, which is no surprise.
Shh, that's driving up our price. Stop talking about that there,
well,
Willie.
I think it's
I think everyone knows, yeah, though. Yeah,
right. It's kind of common knowledge at this point that it's, yeah, you know, especially where the team is sitting in the standings. That's, you know, it's going to be an interesting trade period. But just to come back to reel it back in, I just think it's there's a different mentality right now around the team. And I think that has to do with playing for a pro coach, mm-hmm, one that has a Stanley Cup ring, right? One that's played for the Wildcats before. Like there's so many different things going on right now compared to, you know, 12 months ago.
And discipline too. And like they're one of the least penalized teams, which comes back to playing. Like they play as one, whether they're coming out of their zone five or they're going into a zone of five. They're playing as one. And they're more disciplined this year, and it's nice to see a home ice advantage.
Yeah.
Like, we were wondering if it was more advantageous to play on the road to start the playoffs, which worked out. But like, it was like, why are we running LeClaire into the ground? Like, just sit where we're at, let's play on the road. We're better on it.
Yeah.
This year, this rink is tough. Right?
Yeah, they are. They are playing tough at home. They're a nice team to watch. And it comes back to coaching, just, mm-hmm, like you said. you know, everybody's a year older. You've added a really good rookie, like maybe one of the best rookies I've seen on the Cats. Like Zach is, he's a player. He's really good.
Yeah. He's, you know, cross your fingers that, you know, nothing happens, that he's, you know, part of a different team after the, you know, the trade period or next year for that matter. But yeah, anything can happen. Craig Eagles, you know, is his inspirational, you know, blogs and that, you know, he keeps bringing up players that could be, you know, traded in that. And, yeah, you know, he lists his name and I'm just like, ah, geez, you know, cut it out, you know, cut it out.
Yeah. He has to be realistic. I mean,
yeah, that's it too. Like, you know, if you're going to go after the big fish, you have to sacrifice, some things along as well.
And like you've said before, it doesn't matter what you give up if you're putting banners up in the rink, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as much as we'd love LaRue here and he's captain material, to put the two banners up and ultimately a Memorial Cup championship,
you're going to pay the price.
You're going to pay the price. And I think if you ask true fans, they're okay with paying that price.
Yeah.
So
I just want give me my tattoo.
Yeah.
Put a banner up. Give me my tattoo.
Yeah.
And I know I won't complain next year, right? Because the reward will be there.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look at Drummondville last year, they paid a pretty big price and they were out in, what, second or third round or something like that.
Because of the crossover or whatever.
Yeah. So that's
the scary part, right?
That is the scary part. That's the part, that's the scary thing about being the team that goes all in, right?
Without having it at home.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's something that if you're going to do if you're going to buy, do your research, make sure you're bringing in players that, you know, fit the character that's, you know, in the group right in the dressing room right now. And just make sure there's not going to be any clicks this side of the room is going to be the ones that hang out and go to wing night on Wednesdays. And then this side of the room is going to be the ones that go to, you know, cheap night, the movies on Tuesdays. Make sure everybody, you know, bonds together and they do things together so that when you get down to crunch time, it's not, you're still playing as a team.
Yeah. They're playing for each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't put a price on that. Like. Yeah.
All right. So let's recap last week's games, back-to-back wins over the weekend, over two very tough opponents. I know, Jeremy, you said Chicoutimi was the best team in the league, better than Sherbrooke. And then Halifax bringing their record to 19-5 for 38 points, alone atop the Maritimes division and the Eastern Conference. Thursday versus Chicoutimi, it delivered. It was a small crowd, but it was pretty loud in there for a Thursday night. And obviously some controversial calls and things that happened, which when you have a small crowd like 3,800, just have a ref make a mistake towards Moncton, and that will get the, you know, I mean, that crowd was pumped when Pelche scored. Of course, we beat him 4-0 with two goals from Pelche and McKenna, but you were there. Your thoughts?
I don't think there's anybody out there that will disagree with this one. Turning point of the game, killing off a two-man advantage at the start of the second period.
Correct.
Pelche scores 2 minutes after that penalty.
Baseball style.
Oh, just ridiculous. Was that before that was before the... Right, that was after the two-man advantage, right?
Yep, that was after.
Yeah, and then he came back like a minute later and scored another one. And the place was for what, 3,800 people? It was pretty loud in there. Like it was tough to really concentrate as a fan when you're trying to watch the game and people were into it. I think a big portion of that had to do with ladies' night, of course. you know, the ladies had their $6 wines. They're getting into it, but that was actually a really entertaining game.
Yeah.
I was, last week I said Chicoutimi is the best team in the country, I think I said.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were no slouch, right? They were a talented team, but Moncton just brought it. And you saw that from Moncton as well when Sherbrooke was in town.
Mm-hmm.
Moncton brought it that game. But that's, they got to do that every game now.
Right? And now they got to do that going into their building because, you know, Sherbrooke and Chicoutimi aren't easy rinks to play in. And
like, we've had some bad efforts. Had, you know, that Bathurst game and that Charlottetown game where, you know, it's not great. But they have this way of, they bounce back after a bad game. And they did it here Thursday night. And I was happy leaving the rink. I was concern going into the game because I wasn't sure what to expect. And, you know, they delivered. And, yeah, definitely turning point was that two-man advantage, that penalty kill.
Rodrigue was great.
Yeah. Just, you know, first shadow was a Wildcat. They were blocking shots. I don't know. They were hurting. You could tell that some of them were hurting after those, you know, after that penalty kill. And, but you know what? Those are the shifts and the players that get rewarded with ice time.
Yeah.
Right. And, it was just, you know, 60 minutes. That was, you know, you were happy, you know, one of those times where you're happy to leave the rink as a fan. You know, there's been moments where games where you kind of get your head down. You know, they won, but you weren't so happy with their performance because, you know, they had more to give. This is one of those times where, you know what, you were happy as a fan.
Every phase of the game was working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the defense, they planned as one. I mean, I luckily predicted that nothing was going to get by Rodrigue. I don't know how many times.
You didn't say it out loud, did you?
Yeah, I sent a message
to
him.
Yeah, he actually did. He sent me a message.
But I chose my words very carefully. I said, hot take. I got a feeling nothing gets by Rodrigue. Because I'm a goalie, and I know that you don't say the S word, and I, you know, listen around my section, and if I hear it, I'm not going to be happy about it. You don't say it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. I chose my words very carefully. I said, you know, nothing's getting by him. I was technically right. Two got by him, but they hit the post and the crossbar. So, but he was dialed in. And I mean, this team has not lost back-to-back games all year. Right. So, and you know,
it was a statement game. They wanted to show that, Shakudimi was number one in the country and they can play with him.
Yeah.
And everybody showed up. Like it was total team effort.
And then Saturday, the boys traveled all the way back to the 90s to take on Halifax. And, God, I love 90s themes. The only thing that was missing was the jerseys. But I will give Halifax some major props for that opening video with the kid with the NHL 95 Super Nintendo. And then the Scott McIntosh. And the little digs like Halifax 99 overall and advantage to them. It was really well done. And they got the 4-2 victory, got off to an early 2-0 start with goals on the power play from McKenna, banking it off McLaren. Like, that's a tough one for a goaltender. And then Halifax's favorite son, Havanoff, puts kind of, I'm sure if you ask McLaren, it was a weak backhand, but, I mean, backhands are one of the tougher ones to stop.
Yeah.
But that chased him, and I was a little surprised. To be honest, I thought they were going to call timeout and settle it down. I didn't think they were going to pull him because backhands are tough to stop, but it looked rather weak, and sometimes the coach just doesn't think the goaltender has it, right? And one off the back of his pad from behind the net and a backhand. And then I had to leave for a birthday party up in Fredericton, so how'd the rest of the game go?
So the difference between Saturday night's game and the game here in Moncton against Halifax a month or so ago, I think Halifax won 4-2. Was that the one?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So the difference between those two games is this. Both games, Moncton got out 2-2 lead. This game, I wasn't worried.
Oh, okay.
The game in Moncton, where Moncton got out 2-2 lead, and then Halifax tied it up before the end of the first period, I was concerned.
I think, actually, they've had a 2-0 lead in all three games they've played. They get out to that ominous 2-0 2-0 lead, which usually 3-0 lead is the worst lead in hockey, but
that's the difference between those two games. Right. Trapani scored on the power play in the second period there, I wasn't worried. That was the only difference. That was Moncton's first win in regulation in Halifax since December 2016.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first in regulation.
Wow.
Not, you know, all the other wins in Halifax have been overtime or shootout. First game, first win in regulation in almost 3 years.
Yeah.
So that was you'll remember this. That was the last game before the Christmas break where Moncton just dumped everything.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So Cam Askew wasn't in the lineup that game because he had already been traded to Schwinnigan, but it wasn't official.
Yeah.
So that was the last. That was before the huge, tire fire training period, and then of course the second half came around and everybody was terrible. I always find a way to bring it up every show.
I was just going
to
say, like, there's your weekly tire fire of 2016 yeah. after Christmas.
Hashtag tire fire 2016.
They were good kids, though. I'm going to tell you that we got to meet them with Becca. Becca got to skate with them. Mm-hmm. And they were doing everything they could.
Absolutely.
There was junior A players. Yeah. And mm-hmm. But when we met them, they were good kids. Yeah. They're doing as good as they could.
I think, at that point, I think, the goal there was to hashtag lose for Lafreniere, which didn't happen, but still ended up
draft
pretty...
Draft lottery. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're kind of like the draft lottery winners, really. Yeah. Like, it's,
I love Belche.
Yeah.
And
LaRue. Like,
and I love LaRue. So
I think LaRue has, maybe I'm wrong, but I think LaRue has more points than Joshua Waugh and Justin Robitaille combined.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, it's Justin Robitaille's off to not a great start. I think he only has nine points.
No, he has like 9 points. Yeah.
It's crazy. We've lucked out. But getting back to this game, I didn't feel concerned, right? And you got Isaac Wilson, who, scored his first goal in the queue on what looked like, a pretty harmless looking shot. But
did it go off the defenseman's stick and up over Gravel?
I don't know, but a lot of players who aren't known to be goal scorers, their first goals are always strange ones.
Yeah,
this was a strange one. And you know what? For him, it's one to remember. It's a 10th round pick, and he's coming here, and he's doing well. I'll bring it back to the trade period. If Moncton's going to be going all in and sacrificing all these assets, you're going to need to find players like him in the later rounds and in the draft next June. For all we know, Moncton may not pick until the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah.
So these are players like Isaac Wilson and DeRozier and who am I missing?
Richie can find him.
Richie
LeBlanc.
LeBlanc and Sam Dow and all these names who Sean Stewart. These are all names that were found late in the draft that are, Sean Stewart's going to be a crazy impactful.
Yeah,
he's just so steady that
and it's.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't like him at the beginning of last year, and he's grown so much.
He's improved so much. And same with Tristan DeJong, free agent. Like, these are the players that you're going to need to find, especially if there is going to be a huge sacrifice in a month or so. But it was a fun game. And I think, that late one that Halifax scored, I'm not going to say Rodrigue should have had it, but
he should have had it.
He should have had it. And I think if he would have stopped that one, he might have actually ended up as, goalie of the week or something like that. But that goaltender from Victoriaville who just stepped in his first two career games, and he got a shutout plus one goal against or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Just a crazy, crazy, crazy debut. It was, it seems like all of our, the fans that went down to Halifax all survived.
including the ones with the Beat Halifax.
Beat Halifax t-shirt.
Oh, that was cool. That
with Havanov on the back. Man, I loved that. That was super clever.
Come on, beating Halifax is fun.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
And
they need to do it for the mentality of this team moving forward, because as I said, they're going to be the team that's going to end us in the playoffs if there's a surprise, if they didn't get over this hump. Zachary LaRue's got 22, and Robitaille and Waugh have 17 or 19.
Together?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. It's...
You couldn't ask for more than that.
No.
You're seeing, some premature, 2021 NHL draft rankings where LaRue's going to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, he's got more points than Pelche did in his 16-year-old season at this point of the year. Like, I thought Pelche was super good at 16.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. Yeah. I'm not trying to compare the two.
No.
Like, they're completely different players.
Yeah.
Neil Hodge compared him to Steve Bernier. Ryan Salvas compared him to Steve Bernier.
Well,
Bernier was a bigger body.
Yeah.
I see Max Comtois in Zach LaRue. You know, similar playing style, similar size, and you know, he was a first round NHL draft pick. So
he was the third overall too in Q, wasn't he?
Was third Tivicto. Overall. Yep.
Yeah, that's
it was
right.
Veleno, Morand, ooh, and Comtois. So just we got lucky, right? We're getting lucky with these draft lotteries. So not sure.
Not just lotteries, like the whole process in general. Like you have to build through the draft if you're gonna.
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously the goal is to empty the cupboards, but you don't want to be, you know, Bathurst bad. You want to kind of be the Wren.
Well, I felt
like
Bathurst was working so hard for so long. You could see the wind coming, but
yeah,
I was. I'm not happy that it was the Cats that lost to them.
I don't think anyone is.
You could see that the wind was coming
because
they were doing a lot of things right and working hard. They got some talented kids on their team too.
I think it was like four games in a row they went to overtime or something like that. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's, yeah.
I mean, they almost spoiled our home opener 6-5. So
yeah.
It's funny with the trade period. This team doesn't look as bad if you think you're going to have, you know, Gio and Sheehan in the net and DeRose and, you know, I'm assuming Sean Stewart would be the veteran on that. And you've got LeBlanc and Isaac Wilson. And then you're like, yeah, but if we want these big fish, those are the top prospects that are going to be gone that you have to replace with other guys. My other question, I said this on the Instagram. You hate to see a guy lose a job to injury, but is Sam Dowes, is he in trouble with, you know, when he comes back? We don't know. I mean, obviously the health is what it is. We don't officially know, but is Isaac Wilson playing himself on this team for an extended period of time and maybe send Dow back? Because he's impressive every time he's – all right. He's impressive about 85% of the time he's in his own net. He has a few rookie mistakes, which is inevitable. But, I mean, I'm impressed by him more often than not on the ice. So, is he playing himself an extended period of time?
I don't think so.
Because of timing or because of – because well, we're going
to – for one
– at the trade deadline, there's going to be upgrades.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's – there's gonna be a lot of guys that are gonna lose jobs in the next month or so, because right now they're still carrying 14, 15 forwards, and you know if you're gonna be bringing in
three,
if you want to win, you're gonna need to bring in
three,
two, three,
yeah.
So that's there's gonna be some jobs lost, right? There's gonna be players that are gonna be going back to, you know, back to Junior A or you know, players that are on this roster that are gonna be traded away,
yeah.
They need to be prepared for this, and this is something that they should come to expect. In now that they're in a, you know, a level of hockey where, you know, there is a business side of it, right? So I think they're prepared for that. But at the same time, it's, you know, they still have to be ready to come in next year. You know, if they're still part of the organization that, you know, there's going to be lots of open spots next year. Like, there's going to be a lot of roster turnover next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And guys like Perron and Langlois and Dow and, you know, the list just goes on. Like, these are guys that are going to have a much bigger responsibility in next season. So they need to be prepared for that. If it means going back to Junior A and you know, just to get that ice time and get set for, you know, August and September of next year, then so be it. Don't be childish and run away and say, you know, demand for a trade. You know, you have to realize that this can happen.
Because if you get traded away, you might find yourself in the exact same situation on another team.
Yeah.
Or if you just look ahead, she's going to be wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think if Dow is able to come back in one of these next two games, I don't really think he will be. Like, I think he has to wait for some injury or like a major boneheaded play to get back in the lineup, to be honest. I think Isaac Wilson has cemented himself as a sixth defenseman out of the three rookies, not once the trade period is done, but out of the three right now, right?
I think there's something going on in Summerside because he's playing for Summerside and we got Spence from Summerside and they're must be some good coaching going on there.
Just keep poaching guys from there.
Well, Summerside has always been.
That was one of the coaches you talked about before.
Yeah. They've always been one of the more, you know, premier junior A teams in not just Atlantic Canada, but Canada.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they always seem to be, you know, in the rankings, you know, whatever rankings they do for, you know, junior A leagues in Canada, like they're always seem to be on that ranking. So yeah, their coaching staff and their GM are phenomenal, like Billy McGuigan, and you know, he's one of the guys I wanted to take over here in Moncton, but you know, obviously that's not what they did because they wanted someone with a little more experience. But
seems to work out.
I mean, you look at, you know, what Coach Giorgetti is doing here right now, it's you got to think that, you know, he's probably going to be looking at some better options next year. So that's, there's going to be another opening for, you know, a new coach and a new GM. And so you have to wonder if it's, since the team's going to be significantly younger next year and inexperienced, will they bring in someone, you know, who's, you know,
relatable to the younger guys?
Yeah. Someone who's going to be able to, you know, kind of have the same, not necessarily, you know, whip them, but, you know,
develop them
and somebody who's going to make it, you know, because don't want to predict the future here, but I'm seeing next year as being kind of a downfall. And so you need to, someone is going to step in who's, you know, still going to be able to motivate these players to be excited to come to the rink.
Yep.
I just want to
go ahead.
Get onto the development line that you were talking about. You expect progress from year to year from the players. Like, who has made the biggest step forward this year for you guys? Because there's a few guys that have really taken giant steps forward.
I think Sean Stewart's got to be one of them. DeJong's got to be another.
Yeah.
Especially on defense, like it's you can see their improvements every game. You know, Tristan DeJong is, you know, he's more confident with the puck. Like you see him, like, you know, reversing in his own zone and then skating it out. And then, you know, Sean Stewart's kind of, you know, he's doing the dump and chase, but he's also the one chasing. He's not stopping up the red line and getting the forward to go after the puck. He's the one, you know, going in there trying to create some offense. And I think that comes with his, you know, his, when he played forward last year, you know, his ability to, you know, to pick up that side of the game as well. Forward-wise,
for me, it's Kyle Foreman and Ozzie King, a guy that we didn't think was going to be in the lineup. And those are two guys that aren't going to put a lot of points up, but they're going to be, you know, after your trade deadline, they're going to be the fourth line 5 to 7 minutes a night. Don't make a mistake. I mean, Kyle Foreman had a huge block against Chicoutimi on one of the power plays late in the third. Like, and Ozzie King, I mean, his goal against Gatineau, the fifth goal,
right?
Just outworking the guy to the puck, outracing the guy to the puck. I mean, you know, Jeremy and I are the first ones to eat crow. We didn't think he was going to be on the roster. So, I've really been impressed with Kyle Foreman. I think he's getting better each and every game. And so for me, it's got to be those two.
Yeah, those are the two forwards, and you know, there's been progress like across the board, but those are the two forwards. But same two defensemen, DeJong and Sean Stewart, but Christian Huntley as well for me. So any of those five, like Huntley, I was so disappointed when our captain didn't come back, and we had Christian Huntley, and he's been really, really good.
I think it was easier for him to settle into his role. I think last year was a bit of adjustment coming from Quebec and having to step in. I think one of the main things with DeJong and Stewart is they're playing the minutes they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have the 1A and 1 and 1A and Spence and
Axel,
and then they can play the fourth five. And if we add defensemen, you know, they're going to slot in and they could be the 5-6 pair. I got no issue with them being a 5-6 pair. It's amazing what happens when you're playing the minutes you're supposed to and you're not overtaxed.
Yeah.
Because that's when you get into the mental errors and people get mad at you. But all right, so this Thursday, ladies' night again. Use promo code WOW Ladies. As Justin Robidaux and the 13-11 Val d'Or Fourier come in for the only time this season. you know, like you said, they're a heavy team. They take a lot out. I think last year they beat us, or we beat them in a shootout. Yeah, here
sounds right.
We beat them 2-1 on the third and four nights of the get right trip. I'm kind of interested to see Robidoux live. I've only seen him on TV and again online, but I'm excited to see him play live. You?
If you see him, he's only 5'6", right? So, me too. Like, it's, I had to get that one in there. From what I saw, he's, you know, probably one of the more skilled, fast guys in their lineup. Not sure why he's, could be a lot like Joshua Waugh right now, where, you know, for some particular reason, he's just not playing where he should be. I've haven't had a chance to watch him probably since the Canada Games, so this should be fun. So obviously, Wild and Ladies Night. Don't just think that promo code is only for the ladies out there. I tried it myself today on Ticketmaster, and yes, as a man, the Wild Ladies promo code does work. So the computer can't recognize that, you know, your gender. So if you want a cheap ticket, Wild Ladies.
The scanner doesn't notice it either. At the Avenir. Yeah, it just goes, welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome in. And yeah, so, you know, the computer doesn't magically detect your gender when you enter Wild Ladies. So.
Yeah. And why not drink wine, right?
That's right. $6 wine. I mean, they better not shut me down. Right? If I go ask for a $6 glass of wine, I better get a $6 glass of wine.
Be a man. Wear pink and drink your wine. Do you like the Thursday games? I think they do it because of scheduling, like travel, because they can go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then traveling Wednesday or whatever. But
we didn't get as many Thursday. This is
no. Last year weird. Was a lot of Wednesday, and I think that has a lot, because a lot of teams are playing on Thursday. And I think it's a scheduling bust things instead, because it used to be like Wednesday, and then Friday, Saturday, so you had that weird 2-day break. I think that's a lot of it, but I don't know if it's what other teams are doing around the league. But I know we don't have a lot after the Christmas break. In fact, we don't have any home Thursday games after the Christmas break. So.
Is this the last ladies' night of the year?
So
they better make it good.
Yeah. This is the one.
Ladies, get out there.
Be there. Be there.
$12. Fill the rink.
For myself, I do find some of the weekday games are tough. Like I'm busy at my work, and you know, you finish your day at work and you're pretty tired and you get home and you need the
recharge,
to recharge, and you need the prod to get going. And I think Valdor is a good recipe for this Thursday. So it'll be a good game.
And then Friday, it's the Wawanisa Unwrapped toy for a chance to win a trip to the Memorial Cup. So bring an unwrapped toy if you can't bring one, or if you're not coming to the game, you can go to any Wawanisa place and drop one off. But we see the return of Adam Capanelli as the 13 and 10 Armada visit the Avenir Center.
Adam.
We want a video tribute.
Yes. on a bit of a streak, 4-0. What is this team? Like, they're...
What is Blainville?
Yeah. They're young, but they've got... I mean, Sear and Balduke and Hedman, which probably won't be there after Christmas.
Yeah.
Samson may not be there after Christmas, but I thought he would be traded last year. But this should be a good test for the Cats. I would imagine Lavallee plays this one. But what are the Armada?
I don't know. Yeah.
Lavallee is one of the steps forward.
Yes. Yep.
What is Blainville? Like, they're tough because they play in a kind of an easy conference.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they've got pieces, right? So I'm not sure what to expect. I don't know if we'll see Lavallee this game. I think we might see him Thursday.
Oh, okay.
That would be my prediction. Hmm. I don't know. I'm not one to make predictions here, but I'm not worried about the game.
Oh.
I know. I said it. Okay. I said it. But at the same time, I don't think I've maybe they're not just not getting the results that they should be.
Because their last four games is 5-2 over Drummondville, 4-3 over Drummondville. They beat Rimouski 3-2 in overtime and then beat Val-d'Or 7-3. So
yeah, they beat some good teams.
Yeah, so they're very
streaky,
unpredictable. So it should be interesting. Well, Moncton's going to be on a back-to-back, and you know it's going to be the second game of a back-to-back. So, you know, Blainville's going to have the fresher legs, if you want to call it that. But at the same time, you know, this will be Blainville's first game since last weekend. So, you know, they could have some
bus rust.
Bus rust, if you want to call it that. I mean, they're probably going to arrive in Moncton the night before, and yeah, you know, probably get some of their front office guys at the game to scout the Wildcats. So you never know. Could be in for a surprise, or just could be a, you know, just a regular night at the Avenir Center where it's not cheap wine night, unfortunately.
But it's a little bit more fuller because it's a Friday night.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, they're in between, aren't they? Like they're not a contender, but they're not at the bottom. They're a mid-pack team, and they're a kind of team that they could add if they wanted, or they could sell. Like,
I could see them doing.
Because they're the ones that loaded up 2 years ago and lost to Bathurst, mm-hmm, who loaded up, and then they just kind of fell off. Like, it's the one. The worst part about the league is you only see these teams once, and obviously because of travel and distance. But I don't always need to see Bathurst six times. I'd love to see, like, not, I mean, try to even out the schedule a little bit where you see, you know, maybe like the NHL where 1 year Blainville comes here twice and we go up there once, and then the next year we go up there twice, and or wherever, just kind of even out. I know that can never happen because of travel and distance, but it's just so tough to gauge these Quebec teams that we don't really see all that much.
Yeah, and the local teams, like when you're in different parts of your rebuild, it's hard to build a rivalry. Like if you're good and the other team's bad, then
that's why they try to manufacture the St. John one, but we're never on the same wavelength. That's why our rival is much more Halifax.
Yeah.
And Halifax doesn't have that with Cape Breton because they're always different.
Yeah.
Geographically,
it should be.
Yeah.
But
all right, well, that'll do it for preview. I mean, I think before we go out of that, I think Adam Capanelli has a good game. I think he's excited to play in front of his friends and billets and whatnot.
Hope he has a good game.
Provided he plays. He's only played 10 games this year.
Well, yeah, he was out hurt for like 2 months.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He was out hurt, yeah.
Yeah. Was it ankle?
I think so, but it was one of the first games of the year. So that was, that was tough for him. But, yeah, he should be, you know, if he's not one of the best players on the ice for Blainville, you know, Friday night I'll be surprised. He should be.
Because they're only 1 point behind Miranda.
Yeah, he should be pretty jacked up for this game.
Yeah.
And video tribute. We want video tribute.
I'm down for it. Let's see a video tribute, why not? All right. You got anything else?
I got a question for you, sir.
Oh.
Let's put on your your GM hat here.
Oh.
Now that I have a special guest in the I can ask this. So you're you got your GM hat on. Name me three players that the Wildcats should go after.
John Element.
Okay. Yeah, respectable.
I don't know some of the better defensemen on the Quebec teams. So I think I would love to have... I loved Antalainen last year. Mm-hmm. He was a beast. I'd love to have somebody that plays defense like Antalainen. So whoever that would be.
Balduke?
Yeah.
Zachary Balduke, who we'll get a look at on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's two. And
nothing like putting our guests on the spot.
Well, it's, you know, he's...
well,
opportunity was there.
McIsaac, he makes me nervous because he's coming off of an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. So I would have to be.
And he's only going to get a week of games because he plays this. He makes his debut this Saturday for them against Blainville, and then.
So if you trade all your assets for Mikhaizek, and he's only at 80% when you get him. Like,
mm-hmm. No, you make your
is an 80% Mikhaizek better than 100% whoever?
Yeah,
right.
So that's the only mm-hmm. hesitation I mm-hmm. would have about trading for Mikhaizek, because he if he's 100%, he helps.
He's a difference maker.
He's a difference maker.
For sure. You make a valid point. It's, you know, you noticed he was, you know, he was noticeably, I call them drunk during the Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
Just because he wasn't the same player, right? Yep. He just wasn't physical, wasn't, you know, just wasn't that Jared Mikhaizek that you were used to seeing. So I call them drunk. Like, it was, you know, I'm not normal when I'm drunk. So, it's, you know.
But not for real. Like, stumbling around the ice, yeah. Favoring his, like, trying yeah, not to
you could
take
tell
a hit,
there was
like,
something wrong. And then, of course, like, 2 weeks later, you know, it was announced that he needed surgery. So, yeah. You know. But, yeah, that would be, I mean, the whole training for Mikhaizek, the only downfall of that is, you know, you get some of your assets going, you know, staying in the division. So, that's something that you want to look out for. But yeah, those three guys would help out a lot. Two defensemen. I think you need two defensemen.
Yeah.
You know, it's two forwards, two defensemen.
Yeah.
You need some help on the back end for sure.
Yeah. So I think the numbers are right. I think it's two and two.
Mm-hmm.
Who it is. I don't know enough of the players, but,
we'll see. Yeah. We've got a month.
I'm sure that they've got, you know, Prospect A and their backup plans. Is Luke Hedman a guy they can target from Lanville if they miss out on Element? Or
watch him on Friday. Yeah. He's good. He's yeah. a good
and
guy.
The guy, like Nathan Legare. I haven't heard his name. But
another one I'd like would be Andrew Coxhead from Quebec.
He'd be cheaper.
Yeah. That's another guy that could step into like a third line role. And then, you know, if there's an injury, step into a top two. You know, second line for sure.
So if we can't settle on a price for Sean Element, then Coxhead would be
Coxhead, Hedman. Yeah, just a guy like something like that. That's something you can fit him in the second line. Sorry, the third line, but be comfortable. He can play a second line position if something happens.
So if you're looking at your trade tiers, like Beaugrou and Element, or for your third line. Like
you want Beaugrou to play third line.
Your top no. What you know what I mean? Like your top targets, like your shutdown centerman. Those are the top targets you're going for.
Who if you go get Beaugrou, who do you play him with?
That's the only reason he makes sense in the third line, to give you three dynamic centers.
No, I think you'd put him with
Jeremy and
possibly. I think there's a better fit out there. I think Gabriel Forche from Baie-Comeau would be a good fit with Sear and McKenna.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you put Beaugrou with Ivanov and Pelche.
Oof.
Yeah. Put Ivanov on the wing.
Yep. Play Ivanov on the right wing and Pelche on the left side and Beaugrou in the middle. And then you got LaRue, Desnoyer and Hudson as your third line. And then you got the Stewart King
Foreman
line, and you still got, you know, Daou and Perron and Langlois that are, you know, sitting out. But that's an ideal trading period, but that's going to be a very expensive trade period. So
I like the versatility. And the reason I say Grew in third line is because you can put him with Huddy, and that would be one of the best shutdown lines. You've got three pairs of great players that can go up against your top line, your second line, shutdown line, whatever. I mean, that would be some sort of third pair. But he if you're going to acquire him, you're not acquiring him for your third line. You're acquiring him for
absolutely
for your second.
Oh God, yes.
I wouldn't pay the price that Halifax is going to be looking for Lavoie for our team.
No, I'm not cheering for him.
There's a reason why I wouldn't trade. Well, there's I mean.
Like, it was weird enough at the Q series.
You wouldn't cheer for an Oilers draft pick playing for Moncton like you do for Rodrigue?
He's different.
He's different?
He's different.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's get to the stick tag.
All right.
Eric Murray Realty. Buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
So as most people may have noticed, we became famous over the past day. With our debut in the Times and Transcript.
Whoop.
Just going to start like recording all these sound bites.
Oh, we're saving that sound bite for sure.
So I just, yeah, obviously sticked up going out to Sean Hazard from the Times and Transcript for, you know, taking time out of his day and, you know, his busy schedule to come by and, you know, interview yourself and myself, Adam. Yeah. And, you know, just to, I think it's kind of what we wanted, right? We wanted more, you know, we wanted our faces to be known. We wanted our story to be known, or your story. I mean, I shouldn't say our story.
It's our story now.
Yeah.
Our inspirational story.
That's right. Inspirational story. so, yeah, we've, you know, pick up Tuesday's Times and Transcript. We made the front page of the sports section. And it was a good read. Like, you know, I had people messaging me saying, you know, that's a really good article. Really well done. I had someone say that, you know, he went over and read it again and said, yeah, it's even better than it was the first time.
Right.
So, yeah, shout out to Sean Hatchard, for looking after us there. And, you know what, you know, we're available for, you know, Sports Illustrated and, you know, Hockey News and, anything else out there that,
CTV Global,
CBC, you know, bring a camera into the Wildcat Studios. You know, we'll make sure that, I'll dress nicer for that, for that occasion.
Yeah.
But that was fun. It was, had a great time with that interview. And, I just want to thank so much to Sean for doing that for us.
Yeah. I very much echo that.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
All right, so that brings us to the Pump House Cat of the Week. Well, this one's pretty easy. It's the Summerside Sniper, Jeremy McKenna. I mean, last week he had 4 goals in 2 games, including 2 in the power play versus the Sags. And then, of course, getting the party started, banking one in off McLaren. And we saw this late last year. But I got to say, again, you don't notice him taking the faceoffs, but the most underrated part of his game is his faceoff abilities. That he started at 61% first month, 52%. He's now at 56% on the year average. So I might have to start watching to see if he's taking more draws, because he obviously is, but I never see him take a draw. He always seems to be on the wing, but it's one of the underrated games. So he for me, gets the Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week. Well, that'll do it for this show. Again, thanks for listening, downloading, finding us, reading us in the Times and Transcript, anywhere you can get a hold of us. Again, huge shout out, special thank you to you, Darren, for joining us. And
thank you so much for having me.
It was our pleasure for sure. So we're going to bring up the special event. December 3rd is Giving Tuesday to help cancer patients at the Moncton Hospital, an event that they do along with In Becca's Name and the Friends of the Moncton Hospital. So, Darren, again, just how can people help out with this?
So you can donate at www.inbeckasname.ca, or you can text Tuesday to 20222, and date rates may apply. You can phone in your gift by calling the Friends Foundation at the Moncton Hospital at 506-857-5488. Or you can mail it in to In Becca's Name, care of the Friends of the Moncton Hospital Foundation at 135 Macbeth Avenue, Moncton, New Brunswick.
Perfect. Thanks again for joining us. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you very much. It was great.
As well, it's the last week of November. Jeremy's got his mustache a little bit more.
Beard.
Beardy. He gave up on the mustache. But if you want to donate to this wonderful cause on behalf of our podcast, go to Movember.com and search Moncton Wildcast. Don't forget, it is Ladies Night this Thursday versus Val-d'Or. $12 tickets, $6 wine, not just for ladies. Use the promo code WILDLADIES. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.